Welcome, everyone, to Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope Ministries in Clearwater, Florida. That is our home base. We're a global ministry, but we are based right here in gorgeous. We picked the right place, PJ.
Yes, we did.
Sunny Florida, Clearwater, but we have a lot of family members of our ministry in other states. And in the past, we have had some in other countries also. So anyway, we welcome every one of you to Living the Good Life today. It's going to be a great show. We've got a lot on in store. This show is going to be a life changer, and you'll understand why here pretty soon. This is Palm Sunday and April the 13th,
yes,
2014. And we are steadily making progress towards our 400 show mark, and I'm not even exactly sure where we are on that number right now. Someplace around 360, I think. So we're making progress. We'll have a big celebration when we arrive there. So that would probably be later this year. So anyway, we've been on the air 7 years on this station, and we're a joy. It's a joy for us to be on the air. And we are hearing from more and more of you as the show progresses each Sunday. Pastor Jim, my associate pastor, I'm Pastor Marcia McAllister. Pastor Jim, who we lovingly call PJ, is sitting here right beside me, and he's got the internet up. And you can contact us during the show with questions, comments, or just a, hey, how you doing? You guys look cute. And that will be pastor at bohmglobal.com. And Cedric, our wonderful engineer, is getting the web video thing going right now. So some of you that go to the website for the radio station, www.tantalk1340.com, can actually see the video feed at the same time while we're here in the station. Also, some of you are finding us on your smartphone now by downloading the app TuneIn Radio, and you can do that, and then you will be able to listen on your smartphone. There's another way that we have access to our shows, and this is such a blessing because it involves our wonderful, handsome engineer in there and young daddy, Cedric. And he manages to record these shows and get them to us, and we put them on our website within a day or so after the show. So this show will be up by tomorrow on our website, www.bohmglobal.com. Some of you have in your browsers beaconofhopeministries.com. That works also. So bohmglobal.com or beaconofhopeministries.com is our website. And a lot of people find us that way. So we welcome you to search the website, find out more about the ministry at Beacon of Hope. We are in our 13th year, and God is blessing amazingly. We had our 12-year anniversary last fall. Boy, wasn't that fun, PJ.
Oh, yeah.
That was. We were just in our new facility, which if those of you in the Clearwater area or coming to Clearwater to visit, we are easily found. Well, I say that, but it's really kind of hard to find. Go to our website. I meant to say it's a central location, Drew Street and U.S. 19. Is it hard to find? A little. So go to our website for exact directions. It's behind the Toyota dealership, kind of across the street from Best Buy, but kind of behind those apartments. So you got to kind of know how to maneuver those little side streets right there to make it happen. But really very centrally located at the corner of Drew and 19 in Clearwater. Great day. Beautiful weather. We're glad you've joined us. And we just invite every one of you to check out that website, as I just said, bohmglobal.com. Pastor Jim is with me on the show today, and another one of our radio team, Megan Kramer, is going to be joining us in a minute. Woo! Let's start out with this first song. Is she on the air yet? She is. Oh, my. Megan, I got to say hi to you before we go to this first song. How are you, my love?
Hi, Megan.
I'm good. How are you guys?
Good. I will. We will give opportunity here soon for you to tell what's going on in your life. You're a regular radio team member with us at Beacon of Hope. You and your mother Betty, and you two, and your dad Joe were a part of the ministry, the church I pastored in Indiana back in the late 80s and early 90s. Boy, does that sound like a long time ago. And we know it is, Megan, because you were only 8 or 9 years old when you first came into the ministry, weren't you?
Yes, we have all aged.
Oh, now speak for yourself, girl.
I have.
Yeah, okay. All right. Yeah, long time ago, and how God brought us back together in ministry a few years back. And even though you live in Indiana, you guys are an active part of this ministry. So I know you and your husband, Ben, have been through an awful lot, and your whole family in the last few days. So we will talk about that shortly. But Megan, in honor of you and your mom, and because the words of this song certainly fit this theme today as we go through this show, I pulled out a song, and it's not with you singing it, but that's okay. You'll relate. Behind the Line of Grace, and then you can tell me about that in a little while.
God's children quietly lie in wait while the battle rages on. Rules of this war say that God will always shield his own. And though afraid, danger well in sight, sometimes we're just too tired to try. He tells us to be still and know, and wait behind the line.
All the soldiers of God's army are behind the line of grace. No matter how the battle goes, the Lord will keep us safe. There's no weapon that can stand against the wall God built in our defense. We may not always see his face, but we're secure behind the line of grace.
He will not withdraw his eyes from the righteous night or day. We may not always see him, but he knows the way we take. When we have no strength, no power to fight, and it seems like God is nowhere in sight, he steps in front of the enemy while we rest behind the line.
All the soldiers of God's army are behind the line of grace. No matter how the battle goes, the Lord will keep us safe. Built in our defense, we may not always
We may not always see his face, PJ, but we're secure behind the line of grace.
Amen.
So
Amen.
Appropriate for this day. Yes, this is Palm Sunday, and yes, this is a day of victory and celebration. But as Jesus mounted that donkey in John chapter 12, to the praise and adulation of the crowd, as they sang out his praises because of all the miracles he had done, they waved the palm branches, Pastor Jim, which means victory, mm-hmm. means success. It means, you know, victory in Jesus. We even sang that old song today at Beacon, didn't we? Oh, victory in Jesus. There are times in our lives where things don't go the way we think they should. In this particular instance on Palm Sunday, here is Jesus sitting on the colt. The people are shouting his praises, yet within a few days they will shout, "Crucify him." There are times in our lives where we may not always see his face. We may not understand why we are going through what we are going through. Jesus knew that this was part of the prophetic plan. He knew that he had to go into Jerusalem. Can you just picture, this is Saturday night, is it not, Pastor Jim?
Right.
And I think a lot of people don't understand the timing. They really think that Jesus died on Friday and rose again on Sunday. That's not the way it was with the Hebrew week.
Right.
Go
right.
ahead.
Because
we're going to bring Megan in just a minute. Go ahead.
The Hebrew day begins, the Jewish day begins at sunset because the Jewish day goes from darkness to light. In the beginning, God said, "Let there be light." So it went from darkness to light.
That's interesting that you said that. You said that the other night in Bible study, and I knew it went from 6 p.m., you know, in the evening to 6 a.m., but I never realized that was the reason they did
that. From darkness into light.
That's really cool.
So, and especially in Mark's gospel, where he talks about the triumphal entry.
Right.
He says Jesus went in, you know, the crowd sang their praises. Jesus went, looked around the temple, and then left because it was late.
Yeah.
And none of the other Gospels have that little piece of information. So I think the other, like, well, Matthew and Luke especially, they like to kind of condense. And Mark popped in that little piece of information. And, you know, Bethany, where Jesus was staying, was only a couple of miles from Jerusalem. So once Sabbath was over, he could have easily gone into Jerusalem, taken a look around, cursed the fig tree, and come back to Bethany.
Right, which is what we think he did.
Mm-hmm.
And this was all Saturday night.
Saturday night. Then he went back on Sunday, and our Sunday, and cleared out the temple.
Right, right. Okay. So, and then the events began with Passover, which we will talk more about that. But it is so fascinating that the people had been hearing about all his miracles. Okay. And it's like so often we get caught up in God did this and God did that. And sometimes then that's absolutely where we should be. But there are times that things don't go the way we would hope they would go. And yet God is still in it.
Right.
You know?
Right. Well, and I think a little bit ahead in this story, you're absolutely right. Saturday night they were crying him, they were proclaiming him as the king of the Jews.
Right.
Later, a few days later, they were shouting, "Crucify him." They'd abandoned him. And human beings are awfully fickle.
Right.
You know, if things don't go our way, we look for someone or something to blame.
Right.
And I'm showing my age, but I just think of the musical Jesus Christ Superstar. And in that, a lot of it they got wrong, but one thing I think they really got right was, you know, the crowds, just in the songs, they abandon him because it's like, wait a minute, you're supposed to be king of the Jews and you let yourself get captured?
Right.
you know,
they were thinking with their human brain, right?
They,
and so if he's the powerful Messiah, why would he get captured? They couldn't see God's plan.
Exactly.
Oh, perfect segue for Megan, don't you think?
Exactly.
It's coming up. But go ahead, finish your thought. I didn't mean to interrupt you.
No, I mean, that's true, because they were expecting an earthly king who would overthrow the Romans and, you know, establish the kingdom.
Right.
The Davidic kingdom right then and there.
Right.
They just didn't read far enough in the prophets, because, yes, that will happen, but not for a while.
Right.
Because there was one thing that had to happen first. The kingdom had to come into men's hearts.
Yes.
Through the crucifixion and the resurrection.
Right.
Before the kingdom could appear in the physical world.
Right.
You see what I'm
exactly.
saying? It had to be spiritual first.
Right.
And then physical.
So all of this was God's plan.
Right.
It was God's plan for the triumphal entry into Jerusalem that Jesus rode on the colt. That was prophesied in Psalms. We will go there later in Psalm 118 and show people that this is where, I mean, it was God's plan from the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
This was not just something that happened kind of quirky. Oh no, now they're taking Jesus and going to crucify him. No, this was the plan.
Right, right. It wasn't plan B. Some people think that when Adam and Eve fell in the garden, that God had to come up with some rescue plan for the human race. The fall did not take God by surprise.
Right.
He already knew what was going to happen.
Yes.
He already had a plan in place.
Yes.
And I've even heard I don't know, I haven't done a whole lot of study on this, but even if we hadn't sinned, God still would have sent Jesus to become human.
Right. So that we could see the Father and all about him.
Yeah, exactly.
Hebrews 1, you know, and God came in the form of Jesus to show us the Father. Megan, I've got to come to you, my love. So, you know, during that song, the first one we just did, Behind the Line of Grace, and we remember the day that you and your Mama Betty sang that in our church about a couple years ago.
Mm-hmm. Wow, that long.
A couple years ago. And how did that affect you just now hearing that? And how does that relate to you? And this point where we are in the triumphal entry story, talk to us, Megan.
Well, you know, Jesus had to surrender to God's plan.
Right.
Even though it hurt.
Right.
And so many humans were blinded by their own insecurities that they couldn't see the ultimate plan.
Right.
And that song, it made me cry, number one, because
that was the goal.
I had to go through.
It made me cry too.
Yeah, you should see PJ in here. We need a box of Kleenex in here right now.
Well, I got plenty. I'll pass you some.
Okay. One problem is you're in Indiana. Cedric's looking frantically for something for PJ. Okay. Well, use your shirt there, buddy.
I'll use my shirt.
Okay, he'll use
there
his shirt,
go.
Cedric. We'll be fine. Go ahead. Go ahead, Meg.
Oh, that song. You know, even back then when we sang together at the church is that no matter what you're going through in life, whether you're resting or whether you're on the front line, you know, sometimes you have to take a step back and you have to rest
and
bask in the presence and peace of God.
Yes.
That's what that song means to me.
Yes, yes. And you've had to do that, haven't you?
I have, totally, for the past 4 days. Yeah, for the past 4 days.
And I want you to be able to share what's going on in your life, but I want to catch our listeners up a little bit with the fact that you found out, you and your husband Ben, several months back, that the baby Grayson that you were carrying had a diaphragmatic hernia, which means his diaphragm had a rip in it, which caused organs to be pushed up, correctly? Right?
Correct. Yep.
Yeah. And as a result of that, you have known, and you know, you've been on the show a lot as one of our radio contributors, even lately, where you've told about standing in faith. The events that have happened to you in the last few days, Megan, I couldn't be more proud of you as my daughter, not my blood daughter, but my spiritual daughter. and just how you and your family, your mother, your husband, your in-laws, your dad, all of you, and especially your little four-year-old son, Andrew, how you have handled everything that's happened. So feel free to tell the audience what's going on.
Well, I don't want to take up a lot of time.
You know what? This show is, it's about you, okay?
Oh, well,
all right. Megan, it is. It's about you, and God told me that this will weave in perfectly with Palm Sunday, because this is not a defeat. This is a victory.
Absolutely not.
Okay, the palm branches symbolize victory. This is victory, regardless of how it may initially sound to our listening audience. So take it.
That's right. Well, Grayson was born a day earlier than expected, just due to some lower fetal movement, and something caused my heart rate to spike up over 150 beats per minute. He was taken Thursday morning at Children's Hospital. I was born, I believe, 8:53 a.m. He lived 33 hours and passed away Friday evening at 5:51. And I'm here to tell you that it might sound like there's been defeat, but there's been a victory, because what we have experienced as a family through this trial is that even through death, that the Holy Spirit and God can be seen.
Yes.
Even through a child that's lifeless.
Yes.
Even through a four-year-old that, you know, can't quite communicate what he's feeling. God can be seen through your actions.
Oh, my.
And there have been so many people that have touched our lives and that we've touched their lives. But just as you said, today is not a defeat. Today is a day of victory.
Amen.
And I'm here to share that and let people know that no matter what you go through in your life, even if it's death, there can be victory on the other side if you live and walk with God.
You know, that is absolutely right. Did you say he lived 33 hours?
He sure did.
Okay. And you know that Jesus was 33 years old when he went to the cross.
Yes.
And three is the number of the fullness of God, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. So it's very interesting, everything that happened there with baby Grayson. And, you know, behind the line of grace, and you spelled Grayson G-R-A-C-I-N on purpose instead of the way a lot of people would spell it, G-R-A-Y-S-O-N. But it was because you were connecting it with grace. And so I think starting the show with that song, Behind the Line of Grace, as tribute to you and your mom, but also to baby Grayson. And just, Megan, the process that, let's just ask about you, and you can comment on your husband or your family, anybody that you want to. But as far as you are concerned as a mother, delivering this child, and then everybody immediately knew he had to go on life support. He was not good. He was not doing well at all. But the emotions that you went through, talk to us as you can. I mean, you share what you can share, okay?
Well, no, I'm an open book, and you know that.
I know that, daughter. You're an open book.
And you know, there's so many different emotions. I can tell you the one where it started was on the operating table. I was able to watch Grayson pulled from the womb, and I saw his face very briefly. He did let out two small cries, and probably maybe, you know, I couldn't see a clock, but maybe 2 to 3 minutes after he was pulled from the womb, there was this huge rush of peace through the operating room. And at that point in time, I didn't share with anyone. I chose to keep it to myself, but I knew that Grayson had gone, and because of the peace. And they sent my husband out of the room once they were going to place life support, and so I knew that it wasn't good. But there was people everywhere, and it's overwhelming to hear the things that they were shouting and calling out, trying to give him CPR and save his life. There's sadness. There's hurt. You feel alone. And, you know, being pregnant and carrying a child for 9 months, you have a sense of anticipation when they're born and the hormones that come along with it. And then you're forced to be placed in back in your hospital room without your child. I didn't know when I would see him, and it actually wasn't until 6:30 or 7 o'clock that I saw him for the first time. And it was just, it's really weird to say this, but it was bittersweet being wheeled to that NICU, because I had no fear, I had no worry, because when I entered the room where he was at, all it was a body. I knew in my spirit that my son was already in heaven.
You told me that, yeah.
And people may think that that's absolutely absurd, but it's the truth, because, you know, when you're walking hand in hand with God and you let him control your life, he'll let you see and feel things to comfort you even in a time of mourning. And the hardest thing for me emotionally is watching how other people were affected by his death. And it was hard to explain to people that Grayson was no longer in his body.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard for people to understand that, but I felt in my spirit that he was gone. And so there's just so much emotion involved. You can't even put words with it. But, you know, when you choose to lay back and just let God hold you,
right,
there, it's such an utter peace. It's such an utter peace.
Okay, stay right there with your story, because PJ has a scripture for you right there that fits perfectly. Go ahead.
If I can get this out.
He does need that box of Kleenex. Go ahead.
Well, when I saw the emails and I saw it on Facebook, actually, I think I saw it on Facebook first. I knew there was a scripture about those who have no hope. So I, you know, ran to get a concordance, and I'm looking for it, and I found it. And it's 1 Thessalonians 4:13. And the Lord told me that was for you and
for you, Meg.
For you, Megan. And but I couldn't, for whatever reason, I didn't share it. But then, as you know, I saw the stuff on Facebook and talked with Pastor, I realized this was when I was supposed to do it, because the scripture is, "We do not want you to be uninformed, brothers, concerning those who have fallen asleep, so that you will not grieve like the rest who have no hope."
Hmm.
And
wow,
I thought, well, okay. I mean, you know, that would have been an okay scripture 2 days ago. But then I realized, wait a minute, Megan's not grieving like the rest who have
She's
no
not.
Hope. That's why
no.
God had me wait to share that with you, because you know that hope. You and when Pastor, when you told us what you told us this morning in church about Megan, what, you know, your confidence that Grayson was already with the Lord, that you saw him in Jesus' arms.
Yes.
It's like, yeah, that's what it's all about. We're not, it's okay to grieve, and we
right.
should, because that's,
yes.
that's a human emotion.
Yes, absolutely.
But we don't grieve like the others who have no hope.
Right.
Because Grayson's fallen asleep, and there's going to come a time when Matthew's going to get to play with his brother.
Andrew.
Is going to get to play with
yes,
his brother,
he is.
And
yes.
and Megan and Ben are going to have Grayson back.
Yes,
right.
And
yes,
you know, we have that hope,
right?
And sometimes that's all we have,
right.
is that hope. But
right.
you know, the Lord gave me that scripture, and it was just kind of weird, because I thought, well, I need, you know, I wanted to reach out on Facebook, and I kept not being able to do that, and then you know, I realized. This was why. It was a confirmation. And people, because I was thinking, you know, people think, you know, if we don't go crazy in grief, then something's wrong with us.
Right.
Yeah.
But we,
we know
and,
where he is.
Right. And you may have gotten
we know
that.
Where he
you know,
is.
You may have gotten that, Megan. People are going to say, well, what's wrong with her? You know, when
yep.
she weeping and wailing and crying.
Yep.
Because, praise God, Grayson's home.
He is.
Right.
Megan, go ahead with that. Thank you, PJ. That was beautiful.
Yeah, that was perfect timing, because I know that there are several people that think, you know, wow, she's just really good at blocking the pain. And, It's not about that.
No.
It's
no.
about the fact that, you know, my little angel, he beat me to heaven. And
yeah.
I know he's waiting on me, little turkey, but that's
yeah.
what I told him. I said, you beat mommy. I said, not fair.
Right.
But it's not funny, but, you know, to me it is because I pray, you know, it's amazing. I've said before that I kept a journal.
Yes.
About
you did
my
all
journey
through
with Grayson.
Yes.
And it's amazing that I, well, you know, I had a few days in the hospital to think back on some of the things that I had asked of God. And two of them were, please do not let my son suffer. And please do not let him feel earthly pain. And he didn't. He didn't at all. Because this morning, before I left the hospital, people probably will, again, think I'm crazy, but I wanted to see my son one more time before I left, just his physical body. And I knew that during that time that it was another surrender moment for me.
Yeah.
And so I asked Ben to leave the room, and I was holding Grayson, and it was nothing but peaceful, and I just began to pray. And I could see myself in the spirit in the throne room, and I could see Jesus, and just was at total, utter peace. And the next thing I know, I heard my son. And it was a voice that I've never heard. It was not of anyone else. I knew it was him. And I heard, Mommy, it didn't hurt.
Oh, praise God.
So my prayer, even though that he's gone, my prayer was answered. And there's many other prayers that I've prayed that have come true. And they didn't come out the way that everybody expected it to. He's not alive, but he is alive in heaven.
Yes.
And that means more to me than anything.
You know, and the other day you said the doctors told you, now we both need Kleenex. We're a mess in here, Megan. Thanks. but you said the other day the doctors told you that they did not think he had suffered pain because they didn't ever have to give him any pain meds.
No, he had, the only pain medication he had was immediately after delivery, and that was enough to, they had to give him something to paralyze him so that they could intubate his lungs.
Right.
But after that point, nothing was given.
Right.
Nothing at all.
Yeah. So praise God. God does speak to us, and he does give us visions.
Yes.
This isn't weird. You're not strange.
No.
When we walk in the Spirit of God, 2 Corinthians says, chapter 2, I believe it is, that we the natural man doesn't understand the things of the Spirit. I think it's about starting about chapter 2, verse 12. You know, the natural man can't get it. The average person, Megan, even maybe those listening today think maybe we're all little nuts that we're celebrating the life and the homegoing of baby Grayson, and that, you know, but we're doing it with joy because we know where he is, and we know that he has a purpose. He had a purpose. He has a purpose, and he will have a purpose. And there are lives that are going to be touched, Megan, as a result of this story, what you and Ben and the whole family are going through right now.
Amen. I truly believe that. And that's what I told God this morning was, you know, to continue to let him be seen through us. And that I told him again that I'm willing to do whatever he wants me to do to let people know the way that he is nothing but love and peace.
I totally agree. Pastor Jim just found, you found that scripture in 2 Corinthians?
1 Corinthians. It's
1 Corinthians 2. I always get that wrong. Would you read those few verses? Because I think it'll help some of our listeners understand why we can say the things we do about the spirit realm. It's not weird. It is normal. Go ahead. Paul says this in 1 Corinthians 2:12.
Yeah, starting in verse 12, and I'm going to read about 10 verses. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 12. However, we do speak a wisdom among the mature, but not a wisdom of this age or of the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing. On the contrary, we speak God's hidden wisdom in a mystery, a wisdom God predestined before the ages for our glory. None of the rulers of this age know this wisdom, for if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory.
Amen.
But as it is written, what eye did not see nor ear hear, and what never entered into the human mind, God prepared for those who love him.
Amen.
Now, God has revealed these things to us by the Spirit, for the Spirit searches everything, even the depths of God.
Amen.
For who among men knows the thoughts of a man except the spirit of the man that is in him? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. Now, we have not received the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who comes from God, so that we may understand what has been freely given to us by God. We speak these things not in words taught by human wisdom, but in those taught by the Spirit, explaining spiritual things to spiritual people. But the unbeliever does not welcome what comes from God's Spirit, because it is foolishness to him. He is not able to understand it, since it is evaluated spiritually. The spiritual person, however, can evaluate everything, yet he himself cannot be evaluated by anyone. For who has known the Lord's mind that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ.
Oh, aren't those powerful verses, Megan? Don't they speak Amen. To your situation right now?
Totally. They totally do. It's there is, you know, it's a truth that when you walk with the Lord, that your life can be utterly changed.
Absolutely. Can you imagine going through this that you and Ben have experienced without God?
No.
And then there's a lot of parents that are in your same, because this is, you told me the other day there were a number of babies in the hospital there in Cincinnati right now with this same anomaly, correct?
Yes, there was, when Grayson was born, there was 12.
What is this? This? I've never even heard of this before you, Megan. I have never heard of a diaphragmatic hernia. And I mean,
we
I've had
either.
Kids and, you know, grandkids, and I have never heard of this issue ever.
Well, I just have a question, Megan. Are these kids from just that, like Ohio, Kentucky, Indiana, or are these children from everywhere?
These are children from the United States, and I believe maybe a few overseas, but I'm not sure. I'm not sure.
So then that hospital is known for caring for this problem?
Yes, they are. As far as I know, they are number one in the nation.
Okay. So then that's why this many kids ended up in
yes.
that NICU. Okay.
Yes.
Now, along with that, though, you have begun a few weeks back to minister to people going through this type of thing and other congenital issues through a program, have you not? Which we will we'll talk about that here in a few minutes. But before we get to that, and because that's a place where they can contact you, and you're going to make that clear where parents and relatives and friends can contact you personally with this. But the bottom line I want to make before we do this next song is the verses that Pastor Jim just read show us that the natural person, the human being, I like to call them beans, not beans, but the human being walking down the street, they don't have a concept of how God can actually speak to us sometimes, right? They don't have a concept of how God can give us hope and strength and comfort and peace in the midst of tragedy. You're up, Meg.
No, they, you know, I can just be very blunt.
Be blunt,
the human
dear.
Side of me, if I didn't have God, I'd want to die right now.
Sure.
Because I'm, you know, I'm grieving the loss of an infant.
Right.
I didn't even get to know except in utero.
Right.
And so if you're dealing with, even if it's a death of an older child, of a parent, you know, there is hope beyond what your human mind is telling you.
Right.
And, you know, you can come out of it.
Yes.
You don't have to stay in the mud. You can come out onto solid ground.
Amen.
But you've got to reach out for his hand, too. You have to reach out and grab his hand.
Amen.
So he can pull you out.
Absolutely. Which is what you did. You had opportunities to give up and despair and be depressed and discouraged clear back when you found this out, correct?
Of course, yes, because, you know, when you find out any drastic news, life-altering news, you just want to, if without God, you want to give up.
You want to give up, yeah. And you want to feel sorry for yourself, and you want to just be so depressed that you isolate. And I think I personally know a lot of people who tend to do that when they get bad news or when life isn't going the way they want, and they sink into that pit. And therefore, this next song is for you out there, listeners. And it's for those that you know that need God. And it is an old song, one of my favorites, People Need the Lord by the group Avalon. God, people need the Lord. People need the Lord. Megan needs the Lord through all that she's going through. Megan, we're going to come back to your story in the next hour and talk about it in more detail here. But I really feel that we need to bring in the story of Lazarus here in John 11. Because Lazarus was so precious to Jesus. He was his friend, his buddy. Lazarus had two sisters, Mary and Martha. Jesus used to stay with them in their home in Bethany. They were buddies. They were hangout gang, you know. The disciples and Jesus had rooms there. They stayed there, right, PJ?
Right, and remember, I mean, they were on, I won't say like, I'm trying to think of the right word. They weren't on like holy terms with Jesus. I mean, you know, they didn't approach him like we normally tend to approach God, you know, like kind of scared and all
that.
They
were just buddies, right?
They were just buddies because remember the story when, you know, Martha's being a Yiddish mama. She's making sure that everybody's got all their food. She's running around cooking and cleaning.
Right.
And Mary's sitting at the feet of Jesus.
Yes.
And Martha, you know, she has the audacity to come say, Jesus, tell her to help me.
Right.
And, you know, normally we don't think we can approach Jesus quite that way. But she did. And that just shows how close, well, it shows a lot, couple of things. First of all, how close they were and how we too can, you know, Jesus, help me, you know, that kind of thing. Because, you know, she had audacity to do that. And but you're right. It just shows they were buddies.
They were all buddies.
They were, you know, they were just, they were good friends. And
life brought them something they didn't expect.
Exactly.
Megan, life has brought you and Ben something you really didn't see coming, really. I mean.
No, and, you know, it's not a coincidence that you're talking about Lazarus because maybe 2 weeks before Grayson came, I was writing on my iPad. And God told me, or maybe it was the Holy Spirit that I heard say, which is God, what if you have a Lazarus moment? And at the time, I had no clue what that meant, but it just, I think, signified the special relationship that Jesus had with him when he was here on earth.
Well, and now that you say that, Megan, here's where, and just my opinion I'm throwing out there, here's the Lazarus moment that you had in that out of the clear blue, Lazarus in John 11, and a listening audience, you can go and read this, but out of the clear blue, Lazarus gets sick and dies. And Mary and Martha, he was probably a young man in his early 30s. We don't know what he died of. We just know that word was sent to Jesus. He wasn't near Bethany at that time. The disciples said, your friend Lazarus, whom you love so much, is sick. Right, is sick. And what does Jesus do? He does something unexpected in, he basically says, wait, I lost my, what I was wanting to say here. Basically, Jesus does nothing.
Right.
Okay. He doesn't go there right away.
He says, you know what? This isn't going to end in death, but for the glory of God.
Right.
And it didn't in the long run.
And it didn't in the long run, but in the short run.
Yeah, he just kept kind of ministering where he was at. And it says he stayed two more days. And, you know,
he didn't go rushing back to change the situation.
Didn't go rushing back. And then, you know, finally when he decides to go, it's in verse 11-ish, I think, or maybe after that. But he says, you know, he just has to be plain with the disciples. Okay, he's not asleep. He's not, you know, he's fallen asleep.
Right.
The disciples don't catch that because apparently that terminology hadn't caught on yet. And they say, well, if he's asleep, he'll get up.
Right.
And Jesus says, no, wait a minute. He's dead.
And he knew that.
Jesus knew that
he was dead, yet he didn't at that moment do anything about it.
Yeah.
Now, Megan, in this case, it's a little different than this with Grayson. What I see here, though, is that this is a devastating moment, yet God's going to get glory out of it. This is what I believe God was telling you. What if you have a Lazarus moment? Okay. This seems so horrible, horrendous, and it is to lose a child. It is absolutely horrendous. But the big main point here, Megan, that I see is that God got glory in one particular way by raising Lazarus from the dead. In your case, he's getting glory in a different way. Do you see that? Do you understand that?
Yes, ma'am. Amen.
You want to amplify? Go ahead.
Yeah, he's getting the glory because even though Grayson's not here in the physical sense with us, we know that he's alive in heaven.
Yes,
that's
exactly.
That's why God's getting the glory.
Right.
It's because Grayson is still living and he is made whole in heaven.
And because of the people you're going to minister to as a result of this, Megan.
Amen.
And PJ, go ahead.
Well, I was exactly.
Yeah.
That exact same thing is because of the, it's already, I mean, you know, I spend a lot of time, probably more than I should, on Facebook. But you've already, I mean, the ministry's already started.
Yes.
I mean,
it has.
You know, that's already started. And just the grace that's been given here and the peace, that's what's going to minister to other people who are
right.
going through this, going through a similar situation, whether it's, you know, the loss of any close.
Absolutely.
Or even the loss of a relationship.
Right.
You know, that can be just as devastating.
Life brings difficult moments. We are not in this earthly body to have everything always go the way we want it to go.
Darn it.
Megan, you said something earlier about the word surrender. And you can see here in this story with Lazarus, Mary is understanding. I think in the spirit, Mary is more aware of what's going on. Martha may be just a little more concerned, but both of them are upset. I mean, they're definitely understandably upset.
Yeah, they both said, they both almost want to blame Jesus. If
right.
you had been
yeah,
here,
been
he wouldn't
here.
Have died.
Right. But yet we see in the next chapter, it's Mary, the one who anoints his feet for burial, mm-hmm. and she accepts the fact that God has said he's going to have to go to the cross.
Mm-hmm.
And Mary is the one who 6 days before Jesus goes as the Passover lamb, before that happens, Mary is the one that anoints his feet
right.
for burial and wipes that oil with her hair. Megan, so often don't people want to put the way they would react in a given situation on some of us?
Sure. It's like, well, I feel this way, so should you.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. And no, that's not the case, because just because someone is feeling a certain way about a certain issue, you know, it doesn't have to be about death. It could be about how you feel about your neighbor.
Right.
Just because they have and want to be judgmental or have a different point of view than you do doesn't mean that you have to carry the same.
Right.
Because when you're a child of God, you have a different outlook on life.
Oh, yes, you do.
You just do.
You so do. And in Jesus, let's just look at him and how he felt about this death of Lazarus. He already knew in his spirit, which is what we're talking about, that God spoke to you, okay? Inside of him, Jesus knew, oh, there's a greater plan here. And Megan, I propose today that you know, little mama, that there is a bigger plan and a bigger life's work to carry out here as a result of you carrying Grayson, him being born, and now in the arms of Jesus. There is more going on here than that one event. You know what I'm saying?
There is, because there's a significant showing of the presence of God. There's going to be a continued ministry of how our family is going to handle this situation as the rest of our lives portray on earth.
Right.
And I don't quite know the rest of it, but I'll tell you what, when I left the hospital today,
yeah.
I'm ready for the ride. I didn't come out to be battered and treated as I'm a victim. I'm not. I come out of the hospital ready to let people know what God is about.
Woo, girl, wait a minute. Wait a minute.
Ring the bell.
Ring that bell. Woo.
You know, I have always been a fighter.
Yes.
And I will never stop, no matter whether I'm grieving the loss of my child or if I'm going through another trial. I will not stop fighting for the kingdom of God.
Well, your mother and your dad are both fighters for the kingdom
yes,
of
they
God.
Are.
Okay? Your dad did mission work overseas. Your mom's a prayer warrior. This is your inheritance. This is your heritage, Megan, to be a fighter, to understand that God's got a purpose for your life bigger than what it may appear at the moment, correct?
Amen. That's exactly right.
Megan, can you stay on with us for the next hour?
Absolutely.
Okay, yes. We're going to talk more details about your life. And if you are just joining us, this is a powerful day, this Palm Sunday day of victory on this show, Living the Good Life. We encourage you to call someone, tell them to tune in. You can go to your smartphone, you can download the app, TuneIn Radio, and you will be able to hear the show right there on your phone. You can also go to www.tantalk1340.com, or some of you may be listening on the air, 1340 AM, and some of the other radio stations that are associated with this one. We invite you to get involved with our discussion. You may even like to ask a question to Megan. Megan, this came through just a moment ago on my phone sitting here for you. And it is this, that the baby that you prayed for so diligently, which was the next door neighbor of Carol and Maxine, baby Gray Bennett Lee, that suffered tremendously. He was born very, very early in his development. He's been in the hospital for months. He came home today. He still needs prayer, but
he
he's
came home today.
He came home today, dear.
Oh, thank you, Jesus.
He came home today, and you are a prayer warrior for that little baby that you have never met. So right there, Meg, there you go. And that just came in on my smartphone here. So people, you can write us right now. The computer is up, and you can write me personally. My email address is pastor@bohmglobal.com. At any time, if you want to contact Pastor Jim, our resident Hebrew scholar, you can do that at pastorjim@bohmglobal.com. We have a prayer line, prayer ministry. We got something through this morning, I noticed. A person I've never heard the name, right. Don't know anything about her. She's
and
going through
tremendous. Carol sent out. Carol.
Just did it.
Praise God, picked up.
You and Carol are the ones who basically man the prayer line, which is worldwide. It's global.
Yes.
We've gotten things from other countries. Request this person today. I've never seen this name before in my life, and contacted our prayer line this morning for prayer in her situation. And people, we invite you to use our prayer line. There's no charge or anything like that. You just write an email, very simply, prayers@bohmglobal.com. It will come to Pastor Jim. It'll come to Carol. It'll come to my inbox. And we will make sure a prayer is written for you and sent out to our big prayer team, which is huge, the prayer team. If you want to be on the prayer team, also send an email, prayers@bohmglobal.com, and ask Carol and Pastor Jim to put you on the prayer team. Mm-hmm. So, Megan, that's a pretty good blessing right there just now, isn't it, for you?
Extremely. It's a it's just another win for God.
It certainly is. It is. Station ID, and then we've got some more to talk about.
WTAN, Clearwater, Tampa Bay. WDCF, Dade City, Tampa Bay. WZHR, Zephyr Hills, Tampa Bay. Listen.
All right. Welcome back to Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope Ministries. I'm Pastor Marcia, along here with my associate pastor, Jim, and Megan, one of our radio team members on today's show. We mentioned earlier, if you didn't hear it, you can access almost 300 shows on our website. Is that crazy? We've got a huge server. Mm-hmm. And so we always have the show, like today's show, will be up on our website by tomorrow sometime. Thanks to Maxine, our webmaster up there in Covington, Georgia. And so that's what I'm saying, global. I mean, we got people that work for the ministry and work with the ministry, are part of us, that are not right here in Clearwater. What a blessing that is, by the blessing of technology, Pastor Jim.
Amen. I mean, we've got people in Indiana, obviously.
Right.
You know, shout out Texas.
Ohio. We could go on and on.
Australia. People
Alabama.
From Australia have actually, I know that's at least one foreign country.
Yes.
Because they said they were in Australia. They did send in something for a prayer request.
Right.
Remember that about
yes.
a year and a half ago, maybe?
Yeah.
And our partners are all over the United States.
Right. Yes.
Washington, D.C.
Yes. And we welcome people to write in and become a part of the prayer team, prayers@bohmglobal.com. Say, because there's no obligation.
Right.
It's simply you read that prayer that's sent out. Pastor Jim, when you guys, you and Carol both, when you write those prayers, you wait on God to show you how to what scriptures to use in those prayers. Do you want to amplify on that?
Well, yeah, and we also believe strongly in the prayer of agreement.
Yes.
We all want to be on the same page when we're praying. We don't, you know, if somebody asks for healing, that's what we're going to pray for. If somebody asks for financial issues, that's what we're going
to
pray for.
We're not trying to tell them what or how to feel about their situation, right? We're not preaching at them.
No, no.
It's a prayer request.
It's a prayer request, and what we're doing is sending out the actual prayer for everybody on the prayer team to pray. Because we believe, you know, in the prayer of agreement, that we all be praying the same thing. Because Jesus said, you know, if any two of you agree as touching any one thing, it'll be done for you.
Right.
Well, here we've got a whole bunch of people agreeing as touching any one thing. And we have seen answers to prayer. We've seen miracles happen.
Absolutely.
And I keep a little, you know, subfolder of answered prayer. So we do encourage you, when God answers your prayer, send us a praise report, and we'll get that out too. Just so, I mean, it's an encouragement to us to know, first of all, that, you know, God is moving. He answered your prayer. Plus, it's a testimony. It's a witness.
Absolutely.
We ask, and God moved.
A couple weeks ago, you were on the show with me, 2 or 3 weeks ago, and we got somebody who wrote in and sent a prayer request. We've never heard her name also. And she was having the results of tests. She was having some physical tests that they had told her were going to be pretty bad. And she asked us to believe with her that there would be nothing wrong with her that next day. And sure enough, that's exactly what happened. We stopped the show. We prayed for her right there on the spot. Very next day, she contacted us with big praise God that their test turned out fine.
Right.
And so if you're listening today, what a blessing that God touched you in that way. And it's Him. It's not us. We're just vessels. We believe strongly in healing. We believe that God does hear our prayers and answer them. And sometimes not in the way we choose, which we're going to talk about in this hour. And I think it's going to help some of you that have struggled with that whole concept that, you know, when we so often in years past, I remember you and I came back. We're both from Indiana and we went to the same university, Ball State University. Go Cardinals. We didn't know each other then, but we come from the same area of the country that was, and there was a period of time where people were, it was a theology called name it, claim it. Remember that? And where people were just saying, you just declare it, say it, you got it. And but there's more to that whole concept, is there not? And it will feed into what we're going to talk about with Megan in a little while.
Right, because it can, because I was in a Bible study from that one particular church.
Right.
And the friend of mine that actually led me into the baptism of the Holy Spirit, they just told him if he had enough faith, he could just take off his glasses and God would heal his eyes.
Makes you feel pretty bad when you take off your glasses and you're still seeing funny, right?
Yeah, when you can't read.
Right.
you know, and I think unless you get...
That's a real downer, right?
Yeah,
Debbie
yeah.
Downer, that's a real downer.
Yeah. But the point is, you know, we don't want to jump out ahead of God. And I
Right, yes.
I use Charisma Magazine's app on my phone. A lot of it makes me cringe, but Jennifer LeClaire had a really good article kind of along the same thing.
Okay.
About... when Israel, when the spies came back with the bad report, and, you know, the people rebelled against God, and then they repented of it, and they said, well, now let's go up. We'll do it. We'll fight for you, God. But they didn't ask God, what's your will in this situation?
That's the key right there.
Yeah.
What is your will, God, in this situation?
And she was equating it to spiritual warfare. And, you know, they went up, and of course... They got beat up pretty badly because they moved out ahead of God. They were they moved out in presumption, and we just have to be careful of that.
Right.
I fully believe in healing. I believe it is God's will.
Amen.
But
we got to be in God's timing everything that He has, His big picture plan. Which Megan, we're going to talk to you about that after this next song. And I chose this today because we've been talking about, it's Palm Sunday, we're talking about Jesus coming in to Jerusalem on the colt, and people were yelling, this is Him, this is it, Hosanna. Hosanna means save now, we beseech thee. They were declaring that He was the King of Kings and that he was the king of Israel, and all of this. And it was based on, we see in John 11 and 12, the miracles that he had been doing. And yet they didn't really want a relationship with him. They wanted him to make things better for them through the government. It was not a thing of wanting a relationship, which is so critical here. But this song is amazing. I love it. I believe this is the version that Winona sings, I believe. Is that correct, Cedric? It's the Messiah. Listen to this. It'll just bless your little heart.
It must have been something being born in a manger. With the sheep from the fields and the stars shining over your head. It must have been something seeing three wise men on their knees before a newborn, with their eyes aglow, and in their hearts they know it's the Messiah. He's come at last. It's the Messiah. He's come at last. It must have been speaking the word of your father, with the promise of life and peace forever. Must have been so. Walk on the streets of Jerusalem, with the sins of the world on the innocence of a lamb. Soon everyone will know it's the Messiah. He's come.
It's the Messiah. He's come at last. Woo! Oh, I tell you what, here he is. He is coming on a colt in John 12. He fulfills two Old Testament prophecies, and they are in the book of Psalms. We may get to that later, but I'm not sure. The people broke off palm branches and they went out to meet him. And they cheered, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in God's name. Yes, the King of Israel. Jesus got a young donkey and rode on, just as the scripture has said. And the scripture said, no fear, daughter Zion. See how your king comes riding a donkey's colt. The disciples didn't even notice the fulfillment of many scriptures at that time, but after Jesus was glorified, they remembered that what was written of him matched what was done to him. So often, Megan, as we're in the middle of the crisis, we don't realize what God is really doing, correct?
No, we don't, because we're so blinded by the physical nature of a human. The mental games that we play with ourselves about, you know, why am I going through this? You know, I'm a victim. I can't do this. I'm just going to give up kind of attitude.
Yeah, that defeatist attitude, because we're looking at the external situation with what it is. Like Mary and Martha going, Jesus, if you'd been here, Lazarus wouldn't have died. And Jesus is going, hey, you know what? This is going to be a real glory moment. This is going to be a real glory for God moment. And it's more than just the events that the human beings are going through. PJ, talk about this, and Megan, we'll get back to you on this. Go ahead.
Well, you know, with, I forget who was first. I think it was Martha was first. Let me see. Yeah. Martha came up to him and said that, you know, if you'd been here, but then she follows it up with, yet I know even now, whatever you ask, God will do for you.
Yes, I love that.
And, you know, Jesus says, well, your brother's going to rise. And she says, okay, I know it's going to happen at the last day.
When we all rise.
But then he said, no. Then he says, you know, I am the resurrection and the life.
Yes.
He who believes in me will never, you know, even if he dies, he's not really dead.
Right.
Basically what he's saying there. And, you know, those who die in Jesus are not really dead.
No.
You know, the body is.
Right.
Body may be lifeless.
Well, we're body, spirit, and soul.
Right. And the spirit and the soul are up with Jesus.
They're with Jesus.
And then he said, you know, everyone who lives and believes in me will never die, ever. Do you believe this? And I love her response. Yes, Lord, I believe. And she doesn't say, yes, Lord, I believe you're the resurrection and life. She says, I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God who comes into the world.
It's the Messiah.
And I like that because that, that encompasses everything.
Yes.
Not just this I am statement, but all of them in the book of John. And then Mary comes up and says, okay, if you'd been here, you know, he wouldn't.
Now Mary's a little upset.
Yeah, if you'd been here, you know, this wouldn't happen. And Jesus said, you know what? Take the stone away.
Mm-hmm.
And Mary's the one that says, Martha comes back up and says, you know, it's been 4 days. He stinks.
He stinks, yeah.
And I heard once from a messianic rabbi that after 4 days was when there was no possibility of a resurrection.
Right, that's what they thought.
They were truly, truly, truly dead.
They felt that, yeah.
Well, ha-ha. Jesus said, didn't I tell you, if you believe, you'll see the glory of God?
That's it, right there. Right there, Megan. If you believe, you'll see the glory of God. PJ, you did that beautifully. Megan, this is it right here. If you believe, you'll see the glory of God. Talk to me about that. And we have a listener, actually, it's one of our radio team, Carol, who has just written a message to you, Megan, on my phone, and I've got to read it to you before you address that, because it goes along with this. Carol says this, Megan, it's all about surrender. All to thee I surrender all. And here's what she says. Megan has a new mission, discovering your Lazarus moment. Megan, mm-hmm. a book is being created as you speak.
Amen.
And Megan, just so you know, earlier in the show, that same exact thing came to me. So get out your pen, darling.
You know what? Before I left the hospital, I was told the same thing.
Praise God. Well, that's your three confirmations right there.
Amen.
Megan's story here. Grayson's story, actually.
That's right. Well, you know, just as Jesus said, just hold on and the glory will come.
Right.
And that's true because, you know, we don't have control over anything down here.
No.
And once we realize that and we turn and face God and we surrender and let go, that even though that we have to go through some hard times, it's still important to remember that whatever trial you're going through, that there is joy on the other side, and there's joy through the storm. And there is joy here for us today, even though that, you know, he's gone. He is still with me and always will be. And that's what, you know, when you become a Christian, you learn about your inheritance, and that's heaven. And, you know, like I said earlier, the little guy beat me to heaven, and I know he'll be waiting on me when I get there. And there's such peace in that. There's no other way to say it. There's just such peace.
And the purpose that God had for Lazarus was for him to go through that death experience and then be raised again, and through that, what seemed to be so awful, and then the glory that came out of it, Lazarus was privileged to be used of God like that. And I see that being the same thing with baby Grayson, Megan. It's almost, if we could hear Grayson talk, he would say, I was willing to be used of God to help other people see God in the midst of their circumstances. So God will get all the glory. Do you know what I'm saying?
Amen. And he was willing to do whatever God wanted him to do, because his mother let go of him in utero and gave his life to the Lord even before he was born.
Ooh.
I dedicated his life and his spirit to God more than once, because I wanted I wanted God to know that no matter what happened, that he was in control of everything, no matter what happened.
Which goes right along with what Carol just said to you, and it goes along with what happened to you in December, right after you found out that Grayson was so ill. Do you want to talk about your surrender moment, Megan? Can you?
Sure. It was the morning after we'd found out about the diaphragm. And, you know, when we left the hospital that day, I knew where I had to go, because I've been a Christian since I can remember, and I believed in God since I can remember, and my family raised me to know the love of God. And I knew that if I did not surrender my life, my thoughts, my heart, and my child to the Lord, that I don't know where I'd be right now, to be truthfully honest with you. I have no idea where I'd be, and I don't even want to think about it.
Probably depressed, discouraged, defeated, whatever, yeah.
And like I said, without him, I probably wouldn't want to die.
Right.
And it was a surrender moment where, you know, you drop to your knees, and you let go of your human side. And I know that sounds really weird, but you do. You choose not to worry, and you choose not to fear, and you let God know your intentions, that, hey, I'm down here on my hands and knees, and Lord, I give you my life, and I want you to take control. And in that moment, I don't know how long it lasted, but it was a peaceful experience. I was down on the ground with a blanket over my back, and I could see myself at the feet of Jesus, and I knew where I was, and that's where I was again this morning when I was holding my son. And surrender, you know, you don't have to get down on your hands and knees like I did, but I knew as a human that I had to get down on a level that I'd never been before. I was collapsed on the floor, and I told him, I said, I have nowhere else to turn. I need you. And that was my surrender moment, and I had another one just like it this morning.
Really?
Yeah. Wow. I want God to know that he knows my heart, but I want him to know that my mind is also surrendering to him.
Praise God.
Going forward, I don't know where I'm going. I know I have a 4-year-old to take care of, and I have a husband to take care of. But I know the one thing that I want is I want the Holy Spirit to be seen through my life.
Exactly.
For the rest of my life.
That's it. That's what it's all about. that the Holy Spirit does what he wants done in you and through you and this story. Megan, I think there might be some people out there that are asking, you know, how? How have you had the stamina, the strength, the courage to see God's plan in this rather than dwelling on your loss? Because I'm a mother of three, grandmother of I don't know how many now. It just keeps increasing all the time. But I mean, you know, when you give birth to these children and they are a part of you all those months, and you hear their heartbeat and you feel them move in your abdomen. I remember the very first time I felt my first baby, Ryan, move, and it was like, wow, that is just crazy wonderful. And so when you talk about that, the humanness that you're experiencing, I think some of our listening audience need to understand that, yes, you are still fully human and the mother of that child, but God has supernaturally done something in you that has caused you to be able to have this message of hope today.
Yeah, and it's just, all I can say is it's the Holy Spirit.
Right.
Because, you know, as a mom, you have a natural desire to hold your children, and
yes,
you have a natural desire to not see them in pain.
Right.
And it's just, I can tell you, I was prayed up. My tank was full of faith. And, you know, as I said before, it's natural for me to be a fighter.
Right.
So when I'm confronted with a challenge, I don't back down. And God knows that about me, and he told me back before I knew Grayson had a hole in his diaphragm, he called me a woman of valor.
And praise God, you woman of valor.
Yes, I took that as a directive that, okay, Lord, I agree with you, because, you know, I've been through little things, little crazy things in my life, but I don't give up. And when I have someone tell me that, you know, that I may not be grieving the right way, or I'm not doing it the right way. You know, that doesn't matter to me, because if God confirms to me that I am, and that I am to continue to fight, that's exactly what I'm going to do, because he is the only person right now that matters. He is the only voice that matters to me through this, is him.
Which brings me perfectly to this song that a friend of mine pointed out for you just a couple days ago when you were going through all this. It's by the group Third Day, and the song is Cry Out to Jesus. And we dedicate it to Grayson and his life here on this earth, and his life now continues through your words, his mother. But listen to the song, and listeners, do this very thing, would you?
Everyone who's lost someone they love long before it was their time, you feel like the days you had were not enough when you said goodbye. And to all of the people with burdens and pains keeping you back from your life, you believe that there's nothing and there is no one who can make it right. And there is hope for the helpless, rest for the weary, and love for the broken heart. And there is grace and forgiveness, mercy and healing. He'll meet you wherever. Enough. For the ones who can't break the addictions and
suffers from being alone, wiping the tears from her eyes. And for the children around the world without a home, say a prayer tonight. There is hope.
To Jesus, memory of Grayson. There's hope for the helpless and rest for the weary, love for the broken heart. Megan, that's for you.
It's beautiful. Absolutely beautiful, because that's the only thing that you can do in times like these is right. To cry out to Jesus.
Exactly. And he cares about the pain you're going through and the pain that some of our listeners are going through. And Megan, so I come back to you with this question. How do you tap into that hope for the hopeless and rest for the weary when, as a mother, a human that has given birth to this child, the agony, the pain, and seeing your little guy suffer, but yet go back and make the point you made earlier about his pain level. I want you to tell that to the audience again.
Well, when he was born, when any CDH baby is born, when any baby's intubated, they have to give them a sedative so that they can get the tube down their throat. And that was the only time he was medicated. And when they told me that, that was direct confirmation to me that before they even gave him that medicine, he was gone. And his spirit had left his body, because we kept asking in the NICU, has he responded to touch? Has he moved when you've touched him? Is he in pain? No, because his brain was not getting any blood. He was gone. And, you know, how did I do this? How did I get through this? It's one word. It's called faith. And it's faith in the unknown. And I know it seems impossible, but it's not, because I loved my son, and I still and always will, and that fight that I had for loving him was what drove my faith.
Right.
It never broke, and it never will, because love overcomes all.
Right.
And that's what God is about, is love.
And so for those out there that are hurting right now in their given situation, maybe the loss of a parent, a loved one, the peace, you mentioned the peace in the delivery room. I want to go back to that point, because some people may have just joined us on the show and that happens. But the peace of God, and Pastor Jim, you and I talk about this all the time, the peace that we feel it so often in services or as we're just praying, and it's just tremendous, isn't it? It's
yes.
Something that doesn't just happen every moment, but...
Right, and but when we tap into it, when we
right.
just, you know, well, Paul said, I mean, the way to tap into it, according to Paul, is to pray. You know,
yes.
let your petitions,
yes.
just surrender it, let your petitions be made known to God, and the peace that passes all understanding will act as an umpire over
Amen.
Your heart, will stand guard over your heart.
Yes.
And that's an amazing thing, because even in the midst of chaos, we can still be at peace. And
exactly.
You know, it's one of those times when people are just going to think you might not be in touch with reality. But, we are. We're in touch with the ultimate reality, and that's why we can have peace in the middle of whatever's going on. You know, I mean, I know I've seen all the, you know, I'm excited, yes, about the, you know, that whole four blood moon thing, and you know, but people are like panicking, and it's like, I'm not, because it's a very, the ultimate thing is it could be a sign that Jesus is coming back, and I'm not going to be a panicker about that.
Right. Absolutely.
I'm ready for that.
Right.
But, you know, people look at the world situation and this war and that war and this earthquake and all that stuff going on. It's like, you know what? I have peace.
He's the giver of our peace. Mm-hmm. Jehovah Shalom. So, Megan, share that happened in the delivery room. Would you do that?
Sure. You know, before I went in, I was praying to myself. And, you know, it just, again, it was a test of faith. And, you know, what it is, what I mean by that is that you're just telling God that, Lord, that no matter what happens, I believe in you.
Right.
I trust you. I have total, utter trust in you. So when I went into the operating room, I can't even begin to tell you the compassion of these people that worked at the hospital.
Wow.
And three of them that stand out, actually four of them that stand out the most to me were those involved in the surgery room. But they kept telling me, they kept touching me, are you okay? Are you okay? Yes, I'm fine. And they said, well, we don't know how you're this strong. And I was asked that several times over the past few days, and I looked at him and I said, it's God.
Right.
And so, you know, here I am laying here. Grayson's been removed from my womb, and I did hear two small cries, and I prayed that I would, and I did.
And you did. That's one of those things you believe God for.
I did, and his little voice came out.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, like I said, within 2 or 3 minutes, you know, I was concerned at that point, of course. But there was this huge rush of peace. And I could just, you know, I was weeping, but I could feel myself smiling. And it's like, you know, that means God was there.
Mm-hmm.
Point blank, God was in that room. There were angels there. There were angels working through the staff. But there was just sheer, utter peace. And what I mean by that, it was so calming. Here I am, you know, I'm cut open, and I know I'm bleeding, and I hear the staff calling for epi for my son, which is epinephrine for, you know, trying to force adrenaline through his heart. I hear them call that three times, and I'm calm, because I knew exactly what that meant. I knew that his heart was not beating. I knew they were performing CPR, but I was not freaking out. I was calm, and that was my faith. It kept me centered. It kept me from having a breakdown, and it kept me focused on God's plan. Not my plan, not the doctor's plan, his plan.
And that's what happened to Lazarus, because he died. Mary and Martha didn't understand this, but Jesus understood there was a deeper plan, a bigger plan in place. And that's, you know, the glory of that. And in your situation, it's the same. And there's some of these people out here, I believe, in Radio Land today that are going through such difficult times that they can't begin to see how God can change anything or how they can even make it through the pain that they're suffering. And that's why we played that song a minute ago. And this show will be on our website tomorrow. Go back and listen to that song again, or download it from Third Day as the group. Cry out to Jesus, because that's what you have to do in the midst of these horribly painful, difficult times. Pastor Jen, comment on that before we go back to Meg.
Well, that's just, I mean, what can I say? That's so true.
So
because
true.
None of us are immune from that, whether it's a death, like I said before, a relationship issue, job loss, whatever. None of us are immune. You know, just because we're Christian doesn't mean it's, you know, we're strolling down the yellow brick road till Jesus comes. You know, things are going to come up.
In fact, Jesus promised that we were going to have persecutions and trials and problems and tests.
Now, in this world you shall have tribulations. And,
right, yeah.
But be of good cheer, I've overcome the world.
And James 1, consider it all joy, James 1 verse 2.
When.
Not if you encounter.
Right. When you encounter various
tests and trials. Yes.
You know, it's
going to happen.
Right. It's going to happen. What determines the outcome is whether we surrender to the Lord or not
right.
in this. And you know, that really determines it. I mean, James says, count it all joy. That's...
We got... Absolutely. We got to talk about this surrender. So, Megan, let's go back to this, because this is... Sometimes it is a one-time occasion where you surrender. God, I give you my life. Come into my heart. Yes. But there are so many surrenderings all through your life, correct? And here you are surrendering a whole lot at such a young age. And it's absolutely life-changing when you actually go through that surrender process. Talk to me, dear one.
Well, you know, when you go through the surrender process, you have to be pure of heart. You can't be playing a game.
Okay, very good.
Yeah, God will see it, and He'll know that you're not being honest.
Right.
And you know, just like this morning, you know, I knew that I had to do it again because
surrender again. You mean?
Yes, because there's a battle that could go on within myself between the human side and the spiritual side.
Right.
And I'm telling you what, I'm down and determined that the human side is not going to win.
Right.
It's not going to happen. I'm not going to let Satan in my life.
Right.
And this morning is just, you know, being able to surrender, holding my son. That's something that I'll never forget. It was the purest of moments I've ever had in my life. And to be able to see what I saw this morning gave me even a greater peace than I've ever had. And what I was able to hear will always stay with me until, you know, until I'm able to get out of here, out of this earth and join Jesus and all of my family. But if I could just wish one thing for people is that they could... Sorry.
It's okay. Let it out.
A lot of compassion today.
That's okay.
Is it that people could let go of their stubbornness.
Ooh.
And to show God that they really, truly mean what they're doing, that they're not playing around anymore. Because,
yeah,
people, it's time to stop playing around. The world is coming to an end. I don't know when, but it's coming soon. And I don't want anybody left here behind. I want everybody to get serious and to treat each other with respect and to treat God with respect.
Amen.
Let your life be respectful towards your Creator.
Oof. Praise God. You know, before we do this next song, I want you to talk about your four-year-old son, Andrew.
Mm-hmm.
And because, you know, I said to your mom the other day, maybe it's not good for Andrew to be there, you know, and that was just as a grandmother talking, you know.
Right.
But I was wrong, and I admit it on the air. How about that? Because you and Ben chose to let Andrew experience this with you. Talk to me about that.
Well, going into it, I didn't want Andrew to either experience pain. I didn't want him to experience sadness. And
that's what I was feeling.
Yeah. And so I changed my mind. I was wrong. God told me otherwise. My son is 4 years old, but, you know, just as with his brother Grayson, Andrew's life is dedicated to the Lord.
Right.
And I've asked God to let him be seen through me as Andrew's mother. And that was confirmed this weekend through my son, because when we were in the NICU and we were getting ready to remove Grayson from life support, Andrew came in the room. I wasn't going to let him in, but I did, because if I wouldn't have regretted it. That little boy proved his spirit to me. Not that he had to, but I saw it. And
he loves the Lord. He loves the Lord.
He does. He had us laughing. He was taking pictures of me holding Grayson. He was kissing his brother. He even told people that he goes, my brother is with Jesus.
Wow.
And it came out, I can't remember his exact words, that he knew that he had to take pictures so that he could always remember what he looked like until we get to heaven and see him again. And I don't know how many people told me, your son is not 4 years old. And I said, I know he's not. He has, you know, he's full of the Holy Spirit.
Yes, he is.
And I have to tell you, he takes after his mom because
yeah.
I've never, you know, in the spirit, I've never acted my age because...
I can attest to that since I've known you since you were
Amen.
8 years old.
Yes, and it's because I choose to walk with God. And my little four-year-old, he is my earthly rock. He's here for a reason, and I can't wait to share his life with him, and have him also be a teacher for what he experienced through his brother that only lived just a little short while.
Well, Megan, it was last week or the week before you called me and you reminded me of a prophetic word that God spoke through me over you when you were like
yes.
nine in our
yes.
church in Indiana. Do you want to share that?
Yes. It was a Sunday night service, and still to this day, I search for the paper that, and I can even remember who wrote it when you were speaking it. But it was something about that through your life, you will be able to minister to many and bring many to God. And I didn't know at that time what that meant. I thought, you know,
you were nine years old or ten,
yeah.
right?
Yeah, that's a big thing for a nine year old, but. Now here I am. I'm 33 years old, and I know what it means now. I'm going to share my story at some point, whether it be written or whether I talk to people on the street. I don't know what it is, but now I know my orders.
Right.
In the army of God, I know my orders, and. I know that little Grayson up in heaven is a mighty warrior for God because the structure of his physical body was very mighty. He was full, even if just his body was full of peace. So here I have, you know, I am a warrior on earth, and I've got one in heaven.
There you go.
Backing me. So it's going to be, I'm ready for the ride. I really am.
Tell us your website that you've created with Caring Bridge.
If you go to Caring Bridge, I think it's caringbridge.org, and then you just type in search site. You can search for Grayson Joe at G-R-A-C-I-N, or you can go on Facebook, and I have a Facebook page. Mm-hmm. It's called Prayers for Grayson Joe. Contact me. I'm an open book.
I can attest to that from the Prayers for Grace and Joe page.
Yes. Oh, that's fantastic. You know, Cedric, our engineer, the dear man in there behind the other glass here, has been asking me for a while to take our ending show and or song, our ending final song that we conclude every show with, and put it in the body of the show because he felt like it would minister. And I told him when he walked in today that God told me a couple days ago it's time for this song to be on this show as a memorial for Grayson. It's Not Far to Jesus.
My dad seemed 10 feet tall when I was just a kid. And if you asked me who my hero was, I'd quickly tell you it was him. He must have had 1,000 stories. I must have heard 1,000,000 as long as I live, I was kneeling down that day, him teaching me to pray. He said it's not far from here to Jesus. His loving arms are open wide. Close your eyes and he will lead you safely to his side. There's no for you to fear him. You can trust him with your heart. And it's not far. It's not far. I couldn't help but wonder how the years have gone so fast. With every breath, fought to take a
Thank you right now for every single listener that's been sharing in this show today. Lord, we know there are hurting people out there. There are people who need to hear that Jesus is right there. And Lord, we know you are. And so, Lord, we ask that you would draw these ones close to you this very moment. Let them feel your love for them. Let them feel that you are right there caring about the pain they're going through, the pain in their hearts or the pain in their bodies, the pain in their emotions. It's not far to you, Jesus. Just calling out your name, the name Jesus, the name that is above every other name, the name that is stronger than depression, the name that is stronger than discouragement and death, the name that is stronger than cancer and all kinds of emotional and physical pain. Lord, we speak your name over our listeners right now. We speak your name over Megan and Ben and Betty and Joe and little Andrew and Philip and Nancy and the whole family. Lord, we speak your name, Jesus, as the lifesaver for each of us in the midst of the struggle and pain that we all encounter in this life. It's not far to you, Jesus. We run to you. We see our listeners running to you. It's not far to Jesus. This we ask in your precious name. Amen. Pastor Jim, do you have a word?
Just, I think back on this show, this has been the a difficult one for me to get through. You know, I mean, it just...
You did need that box of Kleenex.
I did need that box of Kleenex.
He's been crying a lot
crying all through the show. But, well, first of all, there's nothing wrong with that.
No.
But... we all have hurts.
Yes.
We all need to be, we all need that healing.
Amen.
From those hurts. And, you know, this being Palm Sunday, and we look forward, you know, to the crucifixion, the resurrection. I think of Isaiah 53. It wasn't, you know, he was bruised for our transgressions, wounded for our iniquities. The chastisement that brought us peace and was upon him, and by his stripes were healed. Those words in Hebrew have a multitude of meanings.
Yeah.
Not just physical, not
yes.
just emotional, but both.
Yes.
I mean, Jesus went to the cross for our sins.
Right.
For our broken hearts.
Right.
For our physical issues, whatever it is. He took all that to the
Amen.
Cross. And, you know, this, and he proved that he's the one to take care of all that when he rose from the dead.
Right.
And that's what this whole show's been about, is triumph.
It is.
You know, not, yeah, it is sad. It's very sad. But like I quoted to you, Megan, earlier, we're not like those who have no hope.
Right.
We know it's just sleep.
Right.
And one day, spirit, soul, and body are going to be reunited when Jesus comes back.
Amen.
That's why Paul called it the blessed hope.
Yes.
You know,
Woo.
That no matter how tough things get, work or whatever, I can move on because I have the blessed hope.
Amen. Amen.
You know, ultimately, we have to get past looking at right now or 5 minutes from now or a week from now and think about eternity.
Exactly. Woo. Talk to us, Meg.
When we were coming home from the hospital, we came upon a motorcycle that had a sidecar attached to it. And I looked at Ben, and I couldn't believe what I saw, was that there was a quadriplegic in the thing next to the person driving the motorcycle. And it just overwhelmed me with compassion. It melted my heart. And, you know, I'm sure that some of the other drivers on the road were very frustrated at the fact that they were driving on the interstate and they weren't going 80 miles an hour.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what, people? It's time to start having compassion for people.
Right.
No matter whether they're in a wheelchair, no matter whether they've got emotional issues, physical issues, or if they're a mother grieving the loss of a child, have compassion and show your emotions, because it's part of being being what we're supposed to be for the Lord, and because He is full of compassion.
Amen.
And when we hurt, He hurts.
Amen.
And I know right now that He feels my hurt.
Yeah.
And you know, I can tell you through this, I've never been mad at God. And I have, you know, I was told that I needed to forgive God. And there's nothing to forgive God for, because I submitted to His will.
Right.
And
that's it.
I told God that no matter what happened, that I would be okay with it.
Right.
And I'm okay with this, because Grayson is with the person that loves him the most. I'm the next person down on that list, but he's with the person that loves him the most.
Right.
And, you know, I want all the listeners to realize that even through death, there's joy. So, you know, link up with Jesus. Find your way to Him. Get your family members to Him. And surrender your lives so that you can have the hope that I have.
Yeah.
That I will see my son again in heaven.
Wow, Meg. You're strong, and yet you are humble, because you realize this is all God.
It is.
And the purposes that He has in all of this, you know, are going to be far-reaching to a lot of people. I want to mention one more time to go to caringbridge.org and do just, what do you put, Grace and Joe in there? Is that what you do?
Yeah, just type, search for site for Grace and Joe, and you'll find it. There's a picture of him in utero there.
Okay. And the Caring Bridge is an organization that, what?
Caring Bridge is an organization for, it's a free website for people to create a journal and a page for someone that's going through a medical crisis.
Okay. Okay, right. I've read some of your journal entries. They're great. And also Facebook, go to Prayers for Grace and Joe, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Megan, I want you to know that, of course, this church family stands with you and with Ben and your mom and dad and Philip and Nancy and little Andrew through all this process, and know that we are praying for you. Listeners out there, Megan is one of our radio team members and has been for a couple years. You can hear her on our show a lot, and her mother, Betty. Go to our website, bohmglobal.com. Listen to some recent shows. Megan, I think some of the shows recently that you were on will help people.
Mm-hmm.
And then listening to this one. So just know we're praying for you and for the family. Pastor Jim, did you have a final comment?
Just the peace. I mean, it's in here.
It's here.
I mean,
yes.
It's very strange. I mean, not strange, not in a bad way, but I mean, it's just...
It's wonderful, isn't it?
It's wonderful. And again, I think back what we talked about earlier, that the non-spiritual man can't grasp what we're talking about. I mean, you really need to surrender to Jesus.
People need the Lord.
To get what we're talking about.
Absolutely. We're going to go back, Cedric, to the second song, People Need the Lord, whatever track that was on. And Megan, final word?
Final word is just thank you to everybody who's been praying and who's been faithful in their prayers, and for all the encouraging words. It truly means a lot.
And thank you, dear little one, for being so brave to come on the air today. It was your idea, your choice. You were scheduled today, but I gave you the out, and you said, no, I'm going to share today. And those of you in our listening audience, get to know Megan, and you can go back and listen to this show sometime tomorrow. It'll be on our website, and that is bohmglobal.com, and you can download it to your phone or whatever and listen to it, or share it with some neighbors and friends that may need this word. If you're in our Tampa Bay area, we welcome you to our services Sunday morning at 10:30, Wednesday night Bible study at 7. This Wednesday night, we're having the Passover Seder.
Yes,
that Pastor Jim, in his rabbinic wardrobe, will perform, and it's really an amazing thing if you've never been to a Passover Seder. This Wednesday night at Beacon of Hope, 7 o'clock. Our address, 21933 U.S. Highway 19 North in Clearwater at the corner of Drew and 19. Go to our website for exact directions, because it's a little hard to find. And tune in next Sunday for a fantastic Resurrection Day service on the air here on live, and then in our facility at 10:30. It's going to be amazing. We've already got the music all planned, and it's going to be wild. So we're excited. So God bless each of you. We're glad you listen every week. Pastor Marcia, Pastor Jim, and Megan Kramer bringing the Word of God to you this day. People need the Lord. See you next week.
Every day they pass me by, I can see it in their eyes. Empty people filled with care, headed who knows where. On they go.
WTAN Clearwater, Tampa Bay. WDCF Dade City, Tampa Bay. WZHR Zephyr Hills, Tampa Bay. Listen.